In Richmond, Virginia, more than 70% of the people who've died after contracting COVID-19 are Black. Racial health disparities in that city are nothing new. The 1918 flu pandemic also took its toll on Richmond's Black population, who were left to fend for themselves. Ben Pavier from member station VPM has more.
On October 12, 1918, Maggie Walker, the first African-American woman to charter a bank and a leader in Richmond's Black community, was interrupted from her work. Agena Rogers, who heads the Maggie Walker National Historic Site, reads from Walker's notes on what happened next.
A call came over the telephone from Governor Davis relative to the suffering of our people from influenza at the John Marshall Emergency Hospital.
Authorities converted a school in downtown Richmond into a makeshift hospital, but the facility was soon overwhelmed and Black patients forced into the basement. Governor Westmoreland Davis needed Walker's help to blunt the pandemic.
By the first week or two in October, it's raging through and sometimes taking out entire families.
So Walker opened an emergency hospital for Black patients at a neighborhood school.
The African American community was left on its own.
Dr. Vanessa Gamble is a professor of medical humanities at George Washington University. She studied the effects of the 1918 pandemic on African Americans, and she says medicine has always been inseparable from structural racism.
There was a time in this country, if your skin was Black, you could not be admitted to a hospital, even if you were bleeding in active labor or that you were in extreme distress.
Richmond's Black medical community was growing when the pandemic hit. The emergency hospital was led by Dr. William Henry Hughes, a surgeon who trained in London and Paris before returning to Richmond. In many cities, Black doctors treated Black and white patients during the pandemic. African-American women entered the Army Nurse Corps for the first time.
They thought that there would be more benefits and more opportunities, or even that their efforts would be acknowledged, and none of that really happened.
In Richmond, the Black medical staff earned praise from Governor Davis. But to the segregationist governor, the hospital's success was proof that Jim Crow was working, that African Americans could serve themselves, in his words, without any mixing.
The influenza epidemic did not wipe out or alter segregation in medicine at all.
In fact, it wasn't until 1965 that Richmond's largest hospital formally desegregated. Today, health outcomes can be drastically different for white and Black patients. There's around a 20-year difference in life expectancies between Richmond's mostly Black Gilpin Court and mostly white Westover Hills. There's a similar pattern in many U.S. cities. Stephen Wolf is a professor focusing on health equity at Virginia Commonwealth University.
What's happening with the pandemic is a new example of an old problem.
The Commonwealth Institute think tank estimates 40% of Virginia's frontline workers in the coronavirus pandemic are people of color. Wolf says these populations have been marginalized for generations, sidelined from good jobs, housing, and education. Now Wolf says he wonders if CEOs and policymakers see these workers as expendable.
Because we're living at a time where there's people starving for jobs, so if those workers get sick or die, they can be replaced.
Wolf's research suggests economic conditions, like access to food and housing, are more important to a person's health than the health care they receive. If that inequity isn't fixed, Wolf says, the country will be back where it started when the next pandemic hits. For Here and Now, I'm Ben Pavier.